Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please open your Bibles Chapter 32 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 32. This is God's word. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He instructed them, "This is what you were to say to my master, Esau. Your servant, Jacob, says, 'I have been staying with Laban and have remained there till now. I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, men servants and maid servants. Now I'm sending this message to my Lord that I may find favor in your eyes.' When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, 'We went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him.' In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. He thought, 'If Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape.' Then Jacob prayed, 'O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, "Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, 'I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted.' He spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he selected a gift for his brother Esau: 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He put them in the care of his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, 'Go ahead of me and keep some space between the herds.' He instructed the one in the lead, 'When my brother Esau meets you and asks, "To whom do you belong and where are you going and who owns all these animals in front of you?" Then you are to say, "They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my lord Esau, and he is coming behind us." He also instructed the second, the third, and all the others who followed the herds, "You are to say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And be sure to say, 'Your servant Jacob is coming behind us.' For he thought, 'I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. Later, when I see him, perhaps he will receive me.' So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, but he himself spent the night in the camp. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. First of all, Jacob is on his way back home, but there's an impediment. In order to get back home, he's got to deal with his brother Esau, and the last time that he had anything to do with Esau, Esau was wanting to kill him. That would make for a little bit of an awkwardness in the relationship, you know. Hey, hope you don't want to kill me anymore. The reason that Esau wanted to kill him was because he had lied and cheated and stolen in order to get what belonged to Esau. And that had made Esau so mad that he was comforting himself with the thought of killing his brother. Imagine, that was his comfort. That, you know, when he's really upset, he says, "Well, I know what I'm going to do." And he's fantasizing. This is called premeditated murder. He's meditating on this, thinking about it, pondering it, considering how he's going to do it and how much fun it's going to feel to be able to finally get rid of that little twin brother of mine. And Jacob is hoping that now that 20 years have gone by, it's better. Okay? Please let it be better. God has told him, "Go on back and I'm going to bless you and prosper you and multiply your descendants." But now as it's getting close, he's thinking, what if God doesn't come through? I mean, we're getting down now to where we're about to see what happens, and it's not theory anymore. It's about to become experience, and I'm getting nervous. Well, the first thing that happens is he encounters a bunch of angels. The angels in the Bible are scary. The angels in the Bible are massive and have supernatural power, and in fact, one of my favorite angelic stories is the one angel that killed 185,000 soldiers in one night. Okay? You don't mess with angels. Not a good idea. Angels are not cute. They are amazing. So, the angels here that are spoken of at the beginning, Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And Jacob saw them. We don't always see the angels. We don't usually see the angels. And sometimes people do see angels, but they don't realize they're angels until after the fact. Jacob saw the angels, and he recognized that they were angels. And he realized, this is the camp of God. God is meeting us here. Had he ever seen angels before? Well, yeah. Do you remember the dream he had about the staircase leading up into the presence of God? There were angels going up and down that staircase, and he recognized those are angelic beings. So he recognized the presence of God in this place, but now he's got an immediate problem, something he's got to deal with. He's about to meet his brother. And he's saying, "Oh God, please save me from my brother." And he's got a plan. And his plan is he's going to send his brother a bunch of gifts. And he doesn't want them all to come at once. He wants it to be a thing where just one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. And it's, well, wow, wow. He wants Esau to say, wow. And all the herders who are bringing the animals in Esau's direction are given the same message. You're all to say the same thing. Let's practice it together. And he goes over what they're to say, and he tells them, this is it, this is the plan. You always refer to him as my Lord, and you always refer to me, who's their Lord, their boss, always refer to me as his servant, okay? Your servant, Jacob, is coming. Your servant, Jacob, is coming. Jacob had gotten the blessing that he's going to be the head man. Jacob had gotten the birthright. And that means he gets the double share. But he is saying, look, I am not trying to be your boss, brother. I am your servant, your humble servant, your servant who would really like not to be killed by you. Okay? So I'm bringing you this, and I'm giving you that, and I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you that. And it was amazing what he gave him. It was enormous wealth. And when we read earlier that Jacob had become very wealthy, think about it. He was able to give all the stuff listed to Esau and still have great wealth. God had really blessed him. And as he looked back over his life, remember when he talked to Laban and to his wives about what his life was like during all those years? Man, it was all miserable. It was terrible. He was always too hot or too cold, and he was slaving all the time, etc. Now, as he looks back, he says this, verse 10, I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. He's now realizing God has already been good to me. I have already been blessed. If nothing else happened, I've already been blessed. But Lord, please save my life. Please, God, rescue me. Please deliver me. You said, Lord, that I should go back home. Now, I'm doing what you told me to do. And you said you were going to make my descendants as numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And I believe you, but, oh, God, please let me be right. Please keep your promise. Let me tell you something. God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises. But I'll tell you something else. Sometimes while we're waiting for God to keep his promise, it gets scary. And that's where Jacob is right now. At this point in the story, he has the promises of God. He's doing what God has told him to do, and he's really scared. And he's trying to use his mind, but even though I've seen the angels and I know God is here, oh man, I don't want to die. Please, God, save me. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you might die? If you live long enough, you'll have some times when you're not sure you're going to make it. It's just part of life. Stuff comes along and you realize how totally out of control circumstances are as far as you're concerned. And it's in those moments you've got to learn that it's not out of control as far as God's concerned. God is still in control. Let me tell you something. Whether you're dealing with an addiction, whether you are dealing with financial trouble, whether you're dealing with relational trouble, whatever you're dealing with, ultimately it's only God who can save you. The first step in every 12-step program is realizing you've got a problem that you can't solve and you need a higher power. That's step one. That's where it starts. You got to realize this is beyond me. I can't do this. I can't fix this. I can't make this happen, but God, you can. Oh, God, save me. And you know what? God answers prayer. And that's really good news.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you'll also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jacob cries out to God. And he reminds God of his promises, not because God needs to be reminded, but because we need to be reminded. You have said, I will surely make you prosper and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. After he's done everything he knows to do, and he sent his wife and his children across the ford, sent over all his possessions, now he is all by himself. Sort of. Everybody that he had charge of, he is sent on. But he's not by himself. There's somebody else there. There's a man there. Who could that be? He's going to find out who it is. I saw God face to face, verse 30, and yet my life was spared. I wrestled with God. God said so. The title of the message today is A New Name. Remember, I've spoken in the past lessons about the fact that Jacob has this unfortunate name, the same one I have. James is a derivation of Jacob. And it means one who trips others up, the supplanter, potentially, especially in light of the circumstances, the deceiver. Now he's going to be given a new name by God. God is naming him something new. His new name is Israel. What does that mean? It means he struggles with God. He wrestles with God. God, who created the universe, shows up as a man and wrestles all night with Jacob. Was this like a dream? No, it wasn't a dream. Was this like, is this a metaphor? Well, yeah, but it's not just a metaphor. It's something that historically happened. God manifested himself as a man, and he wrestled with Jacob, and he allowed himself to be overcome. Are you saying, I just want to be sure I understand this, are you saying that Jacob was stronger than God? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God deliberately put himself in a position where Jacob could win. But when God was finished, morning was coming, God touches the tendon that keeps Jacob's thigh in his hip socket. And all of a sudden, Jacob is lame. And for the rest of his life, he walked with a limp. God could have made it so that Jacob was dead. God could have made it so that both hips went out. God could have made it so that his head came off and rolled along the ground. God wasn't too weak to overcome Jacob. But God deliberately humbled himself and put himself in a position where Jacob could win. What does that have to do with anything else? Folks, Jesus became a little baby. His first bed is an animal's feeding trough. And he grows up as a man who is preparing to go to the cross. But even as they're about to take him and nail him to the cross, Jesus says to his disciples, No one takes my life from me. I lay it down voluntarily. God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ and willingly laid down his life so that when man won and nailed him to a cross, God won and rescued us. Think about that. We are rescued by what happened to Jesus at the cross. It looked as if Jesus loses. The people who stood there mocked him and said, if you really are the Son of God, come down off the cross so we can believe in you. If he had come down off the cross, some would have said, oh, he is stronger. But we would have all gone to hell. Jesus had the strength to let man win so that he could rescue man. And that's what happens here in this story. This is the pattern with God. In chapter 18, which we studied some time ago, verse 33, right at the conclusion of a lengthy negotiation between Abraham and God, where Abraham is trying to talk God down on the number of people that have to be righteous in order for Sodom to be spared. It looks as if Abraham, the wheeler dealer, the original wheeler dealer, is winning the negotiation. He is such a good, sharp negotiator. But you know what it says in verse 33 of chapter 18? It says, when God was finished speaking with Abraham, he left. Who was in control there? From Abraham's standpoint, it's like, yes. From God's standpoint, it's like, yes. God is in control, even when he gives us the ability to choose, the ability to prevail. And so God renames Jacob. And he says, you struggle with God and you prevail. And for the rest of his days, his name will be Israel. Now folks, let me tell you something. God rescues man by allowing man to prevail. You want your theme for today? That's it. God rescues man by allowing man to prevail. It's a foreshadowing here of what happens at the cross. That will be the means by which all of history will turn around. Everything will be changed because wicked people, which is the only kind of people there are, wicked, messed up, sinful people succeeded in crucifying Jesus. And by that crucifixion, Jesus rescued all who put their trust in him. That is beautiful. That is amazing. That is the grace of God at work. God wins. We think we succeeded. And God says, I've got a plan. And my plan is to bless you. My plan is to prosper you. Trust me. Was Jacob a good guy? Not often. Was he a bad guy? A whole lot of the time. God chose to save him. That's the only way you and I can go to heaven. It's not by being good. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent his Son to save us. Thanks be to God. He wins.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE.
or contact us on the web at wvr.org.